reconvene or come back to order. 12:20.
We're unmuted.
All right. Do you want me to reread this, Keith, or are we just going to jump right back in?
Let's just jump right back in. Let me just put on the record that, and leave us for a few. Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. I had the opportunity to look into the question of the status of the extension's existence, and it looks like they do comply with the requirements for the code and the statute, and I think they're eligible for the grant.
All right, thank you. Was there anything else, honey?
Nope, Honeyman, if you're for the record. Other than, I'm just going to go ahead and say my staff summary.
Sure.
The University of Nevada, Reno, Story County Extension, registered 501c3 nonprofit in Story County, is requesting a sum not to exceed $27,500. This nonprofit program support funding request is the same amount that was requested and funded last year.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions regarding this amount?
No questions.
Vice Chairman?
I don't.
Neither do I. Is there any public comment regarding the funds for this particular organization? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 22-650, granting the University of Nevada, Reno, Story County Extension, a 501c3 nonprofit, a sum not to exceed $27,500 for the purpose of addressing contemporary issues in the areas of agriculture, horticulture, community development, health and nutrition, personal and family development, and natural resources.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you for being here. I'm glad to see that the program is still going on. Moving on to item number 19. This is discussion only. No action will be taken. This is an update on the countywide zip code project. County Manager Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioners. Austin Osborne for the record. Just to give you an update, as well as those who are attending, where we are with the county zip code project. We know that we have 89437 that applies out of Tri-Center, and we're trying to work with federal delegation, whether it's Amade's office, Cortez Masto, or Rosen's office, with the Porter Group and others, and even the USPS District Office for Utah and Nevada, to try to come up with simple resolutions to solve problems. And the problems we're finding with the zip codes in the county that overlap with Washoe in particular, and that's 89521 in the Highlands and 89434 in the River District, as we have talked about before, is tax implications. People on e-commerce buying things are getting charged the 8.26% Washoe County sales tax rate as opposed to the county's 7.6% rate. Some of those taxes are being reported, we believe, in other counties, the revenues. And that isn't just for e-commerce, but that's for major construction projects and activity out of Tri. And we believe, based on what the revenues are from before 2018 versus after 2018, when that zip code out at Tri-Center changed over, there is a discrepancy. We're looking at what the discrepancy is. You can look at different things, but there is a difference. Residents and businesses have insurance implications. There's vehicle smog debates that go on at the DMV with people that live in the county go down and register their car. And probably the most concerning one that's brought up to us by the fire district is that in some cases, REMSA down in Washoe County is being dispatched to emergency medical care in the Highlands and out at the River District when their people are right next door to a fire station that doesn't get the call. Because they're saying, oh, you live in 89521, they call a Reno ambulance, and unless the right person happens to be on the phone at the time down in Washoe County, they don't understand that this is Story County, dispatch it from there. So, believe it or not, the first time we got a call with the USPS to have, it took about 15 years, after the last time we had expressed to the Porter Group and Cortez Masto and Rosen and Amity's office, it took about 15 hours. Actually, to get a call back from Mr. Romero from the Nevada-Utah District USPS office. And he said, well, let's talk. So we met with him last week and talked to him about our issues and explained the history of where we are and what we're trying to do, and emphasized we're not trying to apply for anything at this meeting, because apparently if you apply, you can't apply again for 10 years. That was our understanding. Mr. Romero wasn't quite sure if that was really the case, because he believed he only had seen one or two applications for zip code changes in his entire career, which I believe was somewhere around 10 to 15 years. So I do like Mr. Romero. He was very frank. He didn't play a lot of games. He had his whole team with him, and he just told us what it was. And he says, what we do here at the USPS is we route mail. And all of his entire discussion was about routing mail. He says, we don't really look at zip codes for purposes other than that across the United States. And he said, there's thousands of jurisdictions having the same problems we are, whether it's taxes or insurance or reportings or whatever it is. And whether I liked his answer or not really wasn't the substance of the conversation. What I took away was at least he was being honest and told us what his office was, what his position was. And his position was, I'm really not going to look further into this. You need to work with, and he mainly pointed to Amity's office, who was very instrumental in the 2018 action. He says, that's where you need to go. And he says, if those people come to me, meaning him, with some kind of action, he says, I will be perfectly happy to do whatever's needed, but it needs to come from that direction. He says, I'd love to help you. I feel your pain. I mean, he was very empathetic, but he just says, my job is mail. He wasn't rude about it but he was very frank and very consistently, just this is what it is. So we're going to continue to work with those offices. The Porter Group has been very good in trying to coordinate all these. We've had numerous meetings with myself and Honey and Laura and others that are involved in this project. And we believe probably the simplest approach, and Mr. Romero wasn't necessarily saying it was wrong, but it was easier to just expand a zip code as opposed to creating a new zip code. And, he went into the way mail was routed, and he says, well, the north end of the county, that's a rural 7 route, so, Lockwood would be different than Tri. But we tried to, isn't Tri and Lockwood both in rural 7? They just happen to have this new zip code. And he says, well, you're kind of getting into questions that his team would have to go research and look into. But we all know that the mail's coming out of Vista. We all know that it's a Spark zip code, even 89437 Spark. It's just, exclusive to Story County. And then Highland's a little bit different story. So I think what we're going to have to do, my suggestion to staff and a recommendation, is continue proceeding with our federal delegates and try to get those zip codes expanded. Just take 89437 and push it over Lockwood and Painted Rock. Try to get 89440 pushed up to the Highlands. And I want to emphasize for those listening that if we do that, that does not mean the mailboxes in the Highlands goes away and people have to come to the VC post office. What it could mean is they might have an opportunity to use the VC post office if they should voluntarily want a box. So that is at this point. Mr. Romero did emphasize numerous times in the conversation, he says, try to tell your people in the county to use ZIP plus 4, and he explained all the reasons why that was effective. He said, and he showed how to get it and whatever else. So we'll do some PR campaign at the county. Again, we've done some on their socials, let people know, use ZIP plus 4. It may not solve all the problems, but it'll help with some of the problems perhaps. And the other thing on that is we did ask, out at Tri-Center, we have 89437, and companies are still using 89434. Why are they getting their mail? And he says, well, kind of by accident. I says, well, what would happen if we let people know in the Tri-Center that you may not be getting your mail? It's a crapshoot. He says that would be a safe post to put out into the public. And he said he's going to revisit that with his folks and make sure the mail is going to the right places. We are going to send a letter out to our companies that try, just again reminding some of them, please use 89437. There could be a chance of mail not making it to you if you're still using 89434. And the USPS did confirm that that could happen, and it may not be right now just because there's some spillover from the past that they're still using past practice. That's it.
Thank you, County Manager Osborne. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Austin?
I have no questions. I know that it's a trying situation to get zip codes changed. many, many, many years.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
I was just going to mention that if it seems like it would be helpful, there certainly are mail delivery nightmare stories from people in the Highlands who have to go down the hill for packages, pick up packages or whatever. And so if it feels like talking about what's not working from a mail delivery perspective, that's certainly something that we can gather the stories on and make the case if we feel like that would be helpful. If not, then we work through our congressional delegation. I guess my understanding is that the post office kind of floats as far as who they answer to in Washington, D.C., that they're not directly overseen by Congress. They're not really part of the executive branch either, and so it's sometimes hard to know what channel is going to be the most effective to get satisfaction.
It appears that our best channel is to continue working with our federal delegates, but your addition to our list of things we will use is it isn't just about all these other issues, but we'll talk about improper mail routing as well, and that might actually get this enough points to get one of our federal folks to get it to the finish line. So we'll certainly add that and continue these conversations.
Good. Thank you. I don't want to beat a dead horse.
It's so alive. Thank you. We will keep it going.
Thank you. All right. Moving on to item number 20. Discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of resolution number 22-643. Granting the Comstock Cemetery Foundation, Inc., a 501c3 nonprofit, a sum not to exceed $5,000 for the purpose of preserving the historic cemeteries of the Comstock Historic District.
Honey Menifee, for the record, the Comstock Cemetery Foundation, Inc., a registered 501c3 nonprofit in Story County, is requesting a sum not to exceed $5,000. This program funding request is different from the previous years. It's actually lower in amount, and Austin Osborne is going to speak to the MOU and the breakdown of why they're getting less.
Go for it.
Thank you. Austin Osborne, for the record. Thank you, Mr. Commissioners. I can go into this in depth or not, and Mr. Loomis, of course, has been involved in this process and really could go in depth. But the Cemetery Foundation is eligible for less money this year than normally, roughly, I think last year was $26,000 or $27,000, if that's about right. This year, we are working on a Memorandum of Understanding draft. We've been working with the Cemetery Foundation, Heroy Marshall's office, our attorneys, Heroy's attorneys, a lot of folks involved, to try to get the cemetery completely run properly with regard to modern burials as well as historic preservation and a lot of other moving parts, something that's needed for about the last 50 years. So we're finally there. We believe that MOU is about ready for this board to consider. We're just making a couple fine tunes with it with a couple of the parties involved. We believed it was going to be on the meeting today. It's not quite ready. So we're comfortable that the money that the Cemetery Foundation will get now will get them to where they need to be. And then by the time that MOU comes in, if this board does decide to proceed forward on that, then they will be able to be funded for their other activities appropriately in the future.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions about this?
I have no questions.
Mr. Chairman Mitchell? Nor do I.
Okay.
So with that, is there any public comment? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve Resolution 22-643, granting the Comstock Cemetery Foundation, Inc., a 501c3 nonprofit, a sum not to exceed $5,000 for the purpose of preserving the historic cemeteries of the Comstock Historic District.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Honey. Thank you, Austin. Moving on to item number 21, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval to authorize the county manager to approve amendments to existing contract task order 34 between Story County and Far West Engineering for an approximate amount of $6,549, adding and clarifying certain water rights, regulations, demand modeling, county master plan cross-referencing, and other related content to the draft 2022 Story County Water Resources Master Plan, as recommended by the county consultant Walker & Associates.
All right, Mr. Chairman, Board, Austin Osborne for the record. As you know, in 2020, this board authorized staff to proceed forward with Far West Engineering to write a 2020 Story County Comprehensive Water Master Plan, and this applies to the Comstock, Virginia City, Gold Hill, Silver City, and then it also applies to potential surplus waters from the Marlette system to the Highlands and Mark Twain. The draft is at its 90% completion. A couple meetings ago, this board, with staff's recommendation, retained Walker & Associates, particularly Steve Walker, to participate not only in the water master plan, but also water negotiations with the state. He had looked over the draft plan and made some additional suggestions. To meet that new goal, it would be about $6,500 more with Far West Engineering to complete that task. I think it's well worth it. Steve believes that this master plan will have much more robust ability to be meaningful, whether it's in the legislature or the state, in these negotiation processes. Just as a note, the original master plan was at $67,000. The new request is approximately $6,500.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions about this?
No questions.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, I don't have any questions.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this item number 21?
Tom Zachary, again. My only question is, when will this be available for the public to see, and will the public have any comments on these?
Thank you.
I'm happy to answer that, Mr. Chairman.
Please.
We believe the draft will be ready for public viewing in an entirety draft. I would estimate here in about 3 months, maybe sooner. And then at that point, we could certainly put it online, for example, and let folks take a look and comment on it before it comes to the board for a discussion.
Okay. Thank
you. I think, was there another question?
No.
Okay.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah. Based on the recommendation by staff, I, Commissioner Mitchell, authorize the county manager to approve amendments to existing contract task order 34 between Story County and Far West Engineering for an approximate amount of $6,549, adding and clarifying certain water rights regulations, demand modeling, county master plan cross-referencing, and other related content to the draft 2022 Story County Water Resource Master Plan, as recommended by county consultants Walker & Associates.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to item number 22, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval for an additional expenditure of approximately $27,775 for the courthouse paver project.
Honeyman, if you for the record, my apologies for standing up here during the last agenda item. I got so used to being here, I didn't want to leave.
You can sit there.
So, you know, I was getting all excited. Before I get into this, I just wanted to say that also this paver project, I filed for an extension. Originally, the deadline was going to be June 3rd with the SHPO. They have approved our amendment, and the termination work end date is July 15th. So hopefully we are hopeful that the project will end before then, but we have until that time with the SHPO to continue working. In a previous Board of County Commissioners meeting, the board initially approved an amount not to exceed $120,000 for the courthouse paver project, with the knowledge that an additional $30,000 to $40,000 could be required for full ADA compliance. The original estimate from Spanish Springs Construction, Inc. for the scope of work, not including the surface treatment of the pavers, was $73,000. Due to the uniqueness of this project, other unforeseen costs beyond the unknown cost of the surface treatment have accrued since the start of the project. So we've had a couple of change orders go through. The accessibility ramp replacement, which was the cement portion that was in between the pavers out front had to be pulled up, and it's going to need to be report. That's for $6,939. The over-excavation was another change order request for $16,859.88. To fabricate, supply, drill, and place the new curb stone staples, that's $3,736.80. And those were staples that were holding the curb stones together, that when they pulled those curb blocks up, the staples broke, so they need to be refabricated and replaced. Additionally, when they went to replace the curb stones, it was found that they needed some additional support, that just the over-excavation underneath was not enough. So they had to place slurry below those curb stones, and that amount was $3,421.44. Initially, because we weren't sure how this project was going to go, the SHPO did not give approval for how to resurface the tops of the pavers. So that was something that along the way was decided. And after reviewing several methods that were presented for potential treatments to the top of the surface of the paver stones, the SHPO determined that surface grinding would be the best method of preservation, which also would adhere to ADA compliance requirements. The surface grinding of the paver stones is an estimated $43,373.88. So these additions to the courthouse paver project scope of work bring the estimated total cost of the project to $147,775. The grant award amount from the SHPO is $32,000. Therefore, the county's contractual match requirement is now approximately $115,775. The grant funding from SHPO is a reimbursement award, and as the county will have to expend the estimated $147,775 prior to the reimbursement of $32,000 from the SHPO, county staff asks for approval to expend an estimated additional $27,775 to complete the courthouse paver project. And Mike is here also to answer questions.
Thank you, honey. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions about this project?
Not at this point, no, thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
My only question, Mike, if you can explain the reference to prevailing wage and if that's applied retroactively and kind of how that all fits together.
So the project would not be required to pay prevailing wages until such time as the total cost exceeds $100,000. So when the initial base scope of work bid came in at 73, and we had added two change orders, one for the handrail, which we withdrew, and the other for the concrete ramp, we were still under $100,000. Now that the project total cost has exceeded $100,000, the prevailing wage rates would have to be paid retroactively. So it would be the difference between what they're currently paid and what the prevailing wage would be retroactive back to the beginning of the project. Yes, sir.
Okay. Do we have an idea of what that impact is?
That contractor is going to be providing us with that estimate. He has to go through all the payroll and all that. And then that also has to be sent as a certified payroll for our review.
Okay. Is that something would that be an additional change order that would come to us for approval, or is that something
that wouldn't be included here.
All right. So in essence, by approving this change order, we're also going to be on the hook for whatever the result is of that.
Correct. All right.
Makes me just a little cautious, just a little cautious about giving the thumbs up and pushing over 100,000, not knowing what the full impact of.
Well,
not that we really can stop
the result of not doing it is having a partially finished project,
right?
That would come with other contingent liabilities of one kind or another,
right?
So probably we're between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, no pun intended.
No pun intended.
A bunch of rocks.
We're between a bunch of rocks.
Any other questions?
No.
With that said, there is no way to split this project up, I assume. Like, we couldn't split up the resurfacing portion of this project?
To do so would be illegal, because you would not be allowed to separate portions of a project for the express purpose of avoiding prevailing wages. Yeah.
Thank you. Figured I'd just ask. We don't want to break the law, of course. Not with Keith, sir, at least. All right. With that said, is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Sure. I was going to ask, can I add to the motion that we just don't start any new projects until things settle down a little bit?
Is that... I'd love that.
That'd make Austin happy. And maybe Jennifer.
All right. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the additional expenditure of approximately $27,775 for the courthouse paver project.
A second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you for your continued work on this, Mike. And
thanks, sir.
Moving right along to item number 23, this discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of a contract between Tyler Technologies and Story County regarding the quote for the ExecuTime time and attendance program to upgrade Story County's payroll system in the amount of $15,150. Comptroller McCain.
Good afternoon. Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller, for the record. This is a project that you approved within the budget for the next fiscal year. This is the quote for work that I am seeking permission to sign the quote so that we're ready to move forward on July 1st. I can explain the project again if you would like me to, or if you have any questions.
Okay. Commissioner Gilman, do you need a second explanation?
I do not.
Okay. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you like a re-explanation?
No.
You good?
Yes, I'm good. Thank you.
All right. I don't need one either.
Okay.
Is there any public comment regarding this item? All right. With that said, Vice Chairman, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the comptroller to sign the Tyler Technologies quote for ExecuTime in the amount of $15,150.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to item number 24. This is to recess to convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board, bringing us to item number 25. Which is the consent agenda for possible action. Just a brief explanation. This is essentially the consent agenda for the fire district. I don't know if, before I read this, if either one of my fellow commissioners wants an explanation about why we're doing a second consent agenda in our agenda. Are you good with this? All right.
I think it makes sense to do it, yeah, separately.
Okay. This consideration and possible approval of the... I'm just going to read this. My apologies. Consideration and possible approval of personal policies, P703 retirees, P705 workers' comp, trans duty, P706 education assistance, P801 seniority, P802 layoffs and terminations, P803 resignation termination, and P901 performance management for the Story County Fire Protection District. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions about this consent agenda?
I don't.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you?
No, I do not.
All right. Is there any public comment about this consent agenda? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, would you care to make a motion?
Yeah. I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the presented personnel policies, P703 retirees, P705 workers' comp trans duty, P706 education assistance, P801 seniority, P802 layoffs and terminations, P803 resignation termination, and P901 performance management for the Story County Fire Protection District.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On comes another hat. Item number 26, we are going to recess to convene as the Story County Highway Board. Bringing us to item number 27, this is discussion only, no action will be taken. A report of Public Works Department regarding roads and highways in Story County. Is this Jason or Mike?
Jason.
All right.
Or Mike.
Or Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Board. Mike Northern, Operations Projects Coordinator, reporting for Jason Wierzbicki, Director of Public Works. He has three items here. Paving project around town is now complete. Slurry project will start Monday, the 13th and 14th, and apparently this has been posted to social media. The crack sealing efforts around town will continue this morning, and we'll be moving to Mark Twain in the next day or so. And that's all I have for you, sirs.
Just to clarify, none of this is going to impact voting?
Shouldn't. I don't see any projects slated out here.
Okay. Jason confirmed yesterday it will not.
Fantastic. Highway Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions?
No questions.
Highway Commissioner Mitchell, questions?
Do I need to post this in the paper?
We'll take care of that for you.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for the update.
Thank you.
Item number 28, adjourn to reconvene as Story County Board of County Commissioners, bringing us to item number 29, which is discussion for possible action. This is for consideration and possible approval of business license second readings A through J. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions about these business licenses?
I do not, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
Nope.
Is there any public comment regarding these business licenses? Second readings. Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the second reading of business licenses under agenda item 29 known as A through J.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Welcome to the county. Item number 30 is correspondence only. No action will be taken. Who's handling this?
I'll take care of it.
All right.
All right. Apologize.
No problem.
The correspondence that we have today is actually was a news release that corresponds with Commissioner Gilman's discussion earlier today during board comment with his participation in Western Interstate Regional Conference of NACO.
Fantastic. That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Thank you very much. Moving right along to item number 31, this is the second and final chance for public comment. Is there any public comment out there? Not seeing any public comment. We are at item number 32, and that is adjournment of all active and recessed boards on the agenda. It is 12:54. We call this meeting adjourned. See you all in 2 weeks.